I want to welcome everybody to the Parsha class for Vayeshev 5771. And I'm sorry to tell you that we're starting off class with a pop quiz. So everyone, please take out a sheet of paper, write your name at the top. We're going to have a pop quiz. We have been studying the basics, and I want to test your knowledge. Dr. Schultz, I think we're going to excuse you. You've had a number of excused absences. We're not going to make you take the quiz today.
Thank you, sir.
But the pop quiz is as follows. It is a basic tenet for a Jew to believe in God. The question is, how many implications are there for our activity, our response to a lack of faith in God? Okay, let me restate that. We have learned, hopefully, we've absorbed the idea that when we believe in God or don't believe in God, that doesn't just affect a narrow area of ourselves. It affects everything about ourselves. And I'm not talking, on emotional level. I'm just saying in terms of the broad understanding of what being Jewish means. The fact that there is a God has many kinds of implications in many areas of our existence. And the question is, on your sheet of paper, write down how many implications that it has. If we believe in God, then we have X, Y, Z, P, D, Q. If we don't believe in God, then X, Y, Z, P, D, Q is affected adversely. Got the question? No. All right.
And it could be that one page won't be enough.
I didn't expect everyone to do so well on this quiz. So, it was just a scare. We're going to go over the answers in class.
Great.
Okay?
That doesn't include what Dr. Schultz talked about.
Correct. Well, we'll see. We will see. This was really a quiz for myself, because I wanted to summarize for myself what all the things we had learned in this course on basics, growing out of this basic belief in God. And this is what I came up with in my notes, thinking through the various parshios that we have covered since the beginning of the year. So the first implication that belief in God, or lack thereof, has is how man views himself, both his essence and his purpose. If we believe in God, then we are a Tzelem Elohim. We are a godly image. We have a godly soul. And our purpose is to reveal godliness. If we don't believe in God, then we see ourselves differently. We don't see ourselves as having a godly soul or as having a godly purpose. So, belief in God affects how we view ourselves. Another lesson we learned, another implication of belief in God, is how to view marriage, such a basic institution in human life. If we believe in God, then we see marriage as a training ground for developing the type of unification and nullification of one's personal self to something greater as being the purpose for marriage. If we don't believe in God, then we don't see marriage as having that power or having that import. And I'm going quickly. I'm not explaining everything in detail. We're trying to get a scope here. If I believe in God, then I recognize the root of evil. The root of evil is smallness rather than bigness. The root of evil is because I don't see myself as this godly creature. I see myself as some type of a sophisticated animal, if you will, if you'll pardon the expression. And that is, dictates, and leads me to all to most of what I do in life. If we believe in God, we understand, not so instinctively, but we understand that we are in need of a very great elixir in life. The elixir is God's Torah, and we need that Torah. We need to constantly be exposed to it, absorbing it, imbibing it, in order for us to be able to succeed in God's world. If we don't believe in God, then Torah has no importance. It's maybe just a nice historical artifact, something of interest, if I have the time. And last week, we discovered that if we believe in God, then history is not just a book of stories of random occurrences, but it is God's master plan. It is God's direction that is causing history to occur. And there is a reason and a rhyme for all of what transpires in history. So the purpose of this quiz was to show that we are truly about basics here. We are trying to learn that to be a Jew, as we mentioned last week, it doesn't mean I'm just a regular person who happens to be Jewish, and Jewish people do these things. Irish people do those things. Chinese people do those things. Jewish people do these things. No. Being Jewish means we have a different sense of reality. The reality is based upon the existence of a creator, of a higher being, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that has implications for everything else. What we'd like to do today, God willing, is to present another implication of a very, very pervasive and prominent feature of human life. And that is the relationship between people. Relationship between people, society, is something which is, we cannot escape. Our life is willy-nilly, unless we're a hermit living in some cave, we are going to be encountering other people. And if we're Jewish, we're going to be encountering Jewish people. And we have to understand, based on the basics of Torah reality, what is the nature of that relationship between people? Are people together? Are they separate? Is there a sense of unity or not? This is the issue. I bring it up in this week because this week we begin Parshas Vayeshev, which is the beginning of a long saga of brothers. We are introduced to this rivalry between Yosef and his brothers. It continues into the next week and the next week. It can really continues throughout our history. Not only was there division between brothers in the early stages, but during the first temple period when we had kings, there was a division of kingdoms. There was a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. There were two totally different networks of kings. We are also very familiar with the fact that our sages tell us that the second temple was destroyed because of sinas chinam, because of unwarranted hatred among brothers. And it behooves us to understand the Torah reality view on relationships between people. Ultimately, we are going to have to understand this if we are to accomplish our purpose. Because as we pointed out already, if the world is a stage where man and God are the main characters, the man is not just one man. The man is all of Klal Yisrael. So if we are going to play the part, that means we have to play the part collectively. We have to understand how that relationship works and what we're supposed to take of that relationship. So God willing, I think that Hashem has blessed me with a basic understanding. You might think it's simple, but it's something which crystallized for me, which is the reason why I'm often passionate in this series, because it's crystallizing very, very basic things. And that is something extremely exciting and satisfying. All right, so let's talk about this question. Am I unified with other people or not? And if I am, what's the point of unification? We have, almost every week this series, we have discussed the various levels of man's existence. We've got the body, we've got the emotional structure, we've got the intellect, and then we've got the godly soul. Okay, these are commonly referred to by our sages as the guf, the nefesh I'm calling, as the animated soul, I'm calling it the emotional structure, the seichel, the intellect, and the neshama, the godly soul. And we've discussed this in many different angles. If I am connected with other people, is it, on which level is it? Am I connected on the body level? Am I connected on the emotional level, on the intellectual level, or on the spiritual level? So let's think about the implications of this. If I'm connected with people on the body level, that means that I have something in common with them, because we're all Homo sapiens, we're all similar, we all have same features. But what about somebody who doesn't look like I do? Somebody has a different color or a different feature. Do I feel unity with that individual on the body level? How do I feel about someone that is, God forbid, compromised in their health or in their completeness, bodily functions? How do I feel about that? Do I feel connected with people that have a pleasant appearance but not with an unpleasant appearance? It raises issues. Let's say on the emotional level, am I connected with people on the emotional level? I would think that this would be very, very hot and cold. You know, for one thing, we learned last week from the exile of Bavel that one of man's greatest drives in the nefesh level is to conquer, is to be the best or to be lord over. I could imagine that it is very challenging to try to be unified with somebody on the emotional level, especially guys, because guys are always trying to compete. I don't want to be your equal. I want to be better than you. In fact, I would like to be your boss. Now, if you would like to work for me, I'll be very happy to open my arms to you and be nice to you, if you accept my lordship. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people that have unity because they feel that they're dependent on somebody else's lordship, and they feel threatened by trying to challenge it. So that is some type of a unity, but is that real unity if people are trying to lord over each other? How about unity on the intellectual level? That's also very volatile, because the minute you disagree with me, I don't really have so much to do with you anymore. So what is the possibility of connectedness between people anyway? There is always the possibility of connection on the soul level. Ah, that's it. That is where people are connected. Because it is only once we transcend to the soul level that we have all of the things that we mentioned above. Mm-hmm. That's where we discover our purpose. That's where we discover our essence. That's where we discover the significance of marriage. That's where we realize what our challenges really are. That's where we become dependent on the Torah. That's where we become aware of what really is going on in history. And that's where we become connected with all other people, or at least all people that share our spiritual destiny. I'm reading this very deep and slow-moving book, but I mentioned it a few times, Rabbi Jeremy Kagan, The Jewish Self. I want to read one little paragraph. It seems to be that his approach is that as the generations moved on, and this is something that which reinforces what we've learned in the past year with that book, The Road Back, that it used to be that God's presence was much more manifest, and with the passage of time, it has become less and less. Consequently, more and more has devolved upon us to play a more active role. And what really happened when God withdrew is that we became less and less aware of our spiritual soul. So listen to some of the things that he's saying. What would allow us to see our being as residing in another? Do you see your being residing in another? Do you see? That's really what spiritual connectiveness is. You're part of me, I'm part of you. I see my being residing in another. What would allow us to see that? It's really the question that we're asking. What makes connectiveness? Certainly, so long as we locate ourselves in our physical existence, this is impossible. If I locate myself, where am I? I'm here. This is me. This body. I look in the mirror. That's me. If I am my body, then it's impossible for me to see myself as residing in another. I'm here. He's there. We're two different people. For through our physical existence, our self is isolated, complete, and closed. Everyone is separate. Only if we sense ourselves in that which is not physical, and which therefore has no boundary, because our spirit is not bound by a body, does this possibility arise. Through our connection to the realm of spirit, we have the sense that we cannot even comprehend, let alone contain, the source of our being. Very difficult to really absorb what he's saying. Through our connection to the realm of spirit, we have the sense that we cannot even comprehend, let alone contain, the source of our being. As if to say, you mean I have a spiritual soul inside of me? Then I don't even know who I am. I don't know how big I am. I don't know how connected I am. I don't know how eternal I am. All I know is myself through my body experience, and I know my emotions. I don't have it all figured out, in fact. I have less control of my emotions sometimes. I certainly don't understand the extent of my intellect. I really, really have no clue the extent of my spiritual. But therefore, locating ourselves in our spiritual dimension is a prerequisite for true worship. It is because I sense my spirituality that I start worshiping God, that I start saying, well, I'm bigger than myself. So I want to connect to the source. And that's also the key to connectedness between people. If I have a soul and you have a soul, then somehow we're somehow connected in a way that's bigger than either of us individually. So I see a reinforcement of this idea from Rabbi Kagan's words. And as Rabbi Meir Schiller pointed out to us, over the years, over the centuries, particularly in recent times, our spirituality, our spiritual awareness has waned. So we are less aware of our spiritual selves, and we are therefore less able to connect to feel connection either to other people or to our Creator. So with this all in mind, we begin a very difficult episode in the Torah. Brothers, we're plagued by it. How come the brothers didn't get along? How come the Torah says, "Vayiru echav ki oso ahav avihem mikol echav, vayisnu oso v'lo yachlu dabro l'shalom"? His brothers saw that it was he whom their father loved most of all his brothers, so they hated him, and they could not speak to him peaceably. And this irks us to no end. And we say, brothers fighting, why can't they get along? What is the meaning? What is the meaning? Is this sinas chinam? Is this the unwarranted hatred for which we were expelled from our land for 2,000 years and for which we still suffer? Is it all that simple? So here's where I want to present to you the gift that Hashem bestowed upon me. I'm going to present you with one building, one brick to put into our structure. Just one brick. Maybe it'll make our structure a little stronger. The thought is as follows. There is good unity and there is good separation or division. And then there is not such good unity and not such good separation. We're going to define those four terms, and that's going to be the end of our class. Basically, what it means is that if the source of the unity or the division is on the spiritual level, it's good. If the source of the unity or the division is on the sub-spiritual level, it's not so good. And I will try to explain. As we have stated, if I am aware of my spirit, if I'm aware that I am not just my body, I'm not just my emotional self, I'm not just my intellectual self, but I am a Tzelem Elokim, and that causes me, or that makes me realize that I am therefore connected with you, because you are the same, and we are both bigger than either of us individually, and we therefore need each other. And our true identity is in God and in the totality of the Jewish people, then that is a good unity. That's what we might call an ava she'ena tluya b'davar, a love which is not dependent on anything specific. It's dependent on our very essence. That is and should be the overarching reason for Jews to feel connected. It's a reality. It's not something that I have to prove. It's not something that I have to find. I don't have to look for a reason to feel connected to you. It's just who we are. It would be like brothers. It's easier to see. When you have a family, you know, brothers may fight, but they know they're brothers. They know they can't really divorce each other. Although as hard as they might try, they can't explain that away. They are brothers. They're stuck with each other. Jews are stuck with each other because we are connected on the soul level. We all have the Nishmas Yisrael, the Jewish soul, unique from all the other nations of the world. And that is the end-all and be-all of our connectedness. That's a good thing. That can actually give rise to a good kind of a separation. It's good for me to be separate from you, because I see your faults, you see my faults. I can correct you. You can correct me. Neither of us are perfect. But since we're together, since we're all on the same team, I can be helpful to you and you can be helpful to me. if I can point out your shortcomings and encourage you to try to correct them so that we will all be more successful. It's like if you have a team, and the best player of the team, everybody wants him to be on the team. And it's the last game of the season, let's say baseball, and he's the outfielder. And there's that fly ball, and he can make the catch, which will win the game. And he drops the ball. Everyone attacks him. Do we attack him because we don't want him on our team? Just the opposite. We need you so much on our team, we want you to catch that ball. Practice next time. Don't let it happen again. The Rabbeinu Yonah says in Pirkei Avos, when it says, Kenei lecha chaver, acquire for yourself a friend, he says an amazing thing. He says, what good is a friend? A friend can be strong when you're not. Because we all have a Yetzer Hara. We all have an evil inclination. If there's something that I really want badly and I have an urge for, I'm going to want to do it. My friend may not even be as religious as me, but there's one thing that he has that I don't have. Or there's one thing that he doesn't have that I have. He doesn't have my Yetzer Hara. You know, I might want to eat what I shouldn't eat, but I do not get any pleasure when I see my friend eating what he shouldn't be eating. I want to go over them and say to him, don't do that to yourself. That's a good separation. That's a good division. That's where people can say, because we are connected, therefore, I want to protest against what you're doing. The Torah says, it's explicitly in the Torah, Al tisna es achicha bilvavecha, do not hate your brother in your heart. Hocheach tochiach es amisecha. You shall surely reprove him, v'lo yabacha chet, and the sin won't be yours. In other words, hate your brother for a good reason. Hate what he's doing. And don't keep it inside. Go over to him and correct him. Because we're all in this together. That's a good unity and that's a good division. It comes because we realize we're thinking on the spiritual plane and because we realize that we are in this together. It may occur in the severest of cases that I see that my fellow over there is so destructive. His behavior is so destructive to him, to the group, to the mission, that he has to be removed. Sometimes you have to expel the student from the school. Sometimes you have to send the child away. That is a type of a severe separation, but has to happen. It has to happen for a good reason. Because the most important thing is God and fulfilling the mission of Gilui Yehudo, of revealing God's oneness. Now let's look at the other side of the coin. When is unity not a good unity? And division not a good division? Unity that is not a good unity is unity that is driven by the body or by the emotions or by the intellect, but not directed towards the higher spiritual purpose. I once heard this passage of the Talmud, and I think it's exactly what we're trying to illustrate. Chamisha Devarim, this is Pesachim 113b. Chamisha Devarim, Tziva Kna'an Esbanav. Kanaan was one of the early people. He's one of the 70 souls. He was a descendant of Ham. And Kanaan, and he grew up to be the progenitor of one of the seven Canaanite nations. Kanaan used to say to his children, Ehevu ze eseh, love one another. Good. Love one another. Love theft. Love theft. Love depravity, hate your masters, and do not speak the truth. Kanaan, it was an evil man. Love theft, love depravity, hate your masters, do not speak the truth, but love each other. Why love each other? you're such an evil man, why are you telling them to love each other? What's the answer? Because if you want to have succeed, if you want to succeed in your theft, in your depravity, in your hating your masters, and in not speaking the truth, you're going to have to help each other out. You're going to need to form a gang, because you can't do it alone. You're not going to be able to rob the bank if you don't have, you know, the guys with the masks, with the stocking masks, and also the guys in the getaway car. You're not going to be able to do it just by yourself. And you're not, it's a lengthy footnote. Love each other, because together you will be able to fulfill your evil machinations and desires. That's a unity which is not a good unity. That's a unity which is not coming from essence. It's coming from the desire to help each other further your selfish and isolated desires. That's a not good unity. And finally, a not good division. You know what a not good division is? We've already defined a good division. A good division is, I will not tolerate your behavior because you're being destructive for yourself and for the rest of the group. That's a good division. What's a bad division? The word sting. I have nothing to do with you. No. I have nothing to do with you. I don't care what you do. I have nothing to do with you. I have nothing in common with you. That's not a good division for people who are connected on the soul level. You can't have nothing to do with you if you are connected. But if I don't understand that I'm connected, then I can feel that I have nothing to do with you. My proposal is that what we learn about in the Chumash, certainly with the holy sons of Yaakov, and the way that they addressed differences, and the way that they looked at Yosef, their brother, it was not a sinas chinam. I believe that a sinas chinam is of the non-good variety. When Jews don't see each other as connected. Sinas chinam, unwarranted sina. You have sina because you don't feel connected? That's unwarranted. You are connected. You have sina because you feel that there's one of your teammates, one of your brethren is being destructive, is possibly endangering the mission of the group? That's not a sinas chinam. That's a good sina. That's a al tisna sachicha bilvavecha. Don't hate your brother in your heart. Hocheach tochiach asamisecha. Go tell him. Distance him if necessary. If he's a threat to the group, put him at arm's length. It's a different kind of a sina. I don't think that the brothers of Yaakov were engaging in sina tchinim. Sina tchinim came later in the second temple, when we stopped realizing that we were connected in the first place. And we must bear this in mind, and we must realize that because our relationship to our very own neshama is so tenuous, it's so delicate. All of the things that we listed on the pop quiz, our awareness of God is tenuous, our awareness of who we are is tenuous. Our inability to see ourselves as big because we're always seeing ourselves as small is so tenuous. Our connection, our realization that Torah is our antidote that we need is tenuous. Our constantly being swept up by the secular definition of history and current events is so tenuous. How often do we actually see that what's going on in the world is the guiding light of God, of a hand of God, is so tenuous. And therefore, our relationship with others, maybe once in a while we can feel that good achdus. But so how often is our achdus the bad achdus, when I just want something from you so that I can have what I want? And how often is our division a good division versus a bad division? It's so tenuous that we have to be suspect of every time we feel close or every time we feel distant from somebody else. Where is it coming from? We have to be drifted. We're living in the time, like the last exile is the time. Remember last week, Esav says, just don't be spiritual. Don't think about that fourth dimension. Just be body and emotion and intellect. And therefore, don't see yourselves as being connected with other people. We have to try, you know, in every ounce of who we are, to try to grasp that fourth dimension in how we view ourselves and how we view our own relationships. That's what we're looking for. We're looking to grab onto that fourth dimension, to see ourselves as spiritual, to see ourselves as the neshama, and therefore to find that achdus, that spiritual achdus that we have, and just to try to hold on to that. That is our avodah, that is our task in this time. So I hope that this provides some clarity. I know it did for me in a major way. And God willing, as we continue on in the episode of the brothers and then in the book of Shmos and the formation of Klal Yisrael and our receiving of the Torah, all of these issues come to bear. And thank you for being part of this journey. Thank you for all being so patient and listening so intently.